I encourage you, if you get a chance, to watch that movie, Courageous. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12. Today we're going to look at courageous versus complacent and answer the call to courage. Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the call to courage this morning. And Lord, we just pray that as we go through these four messages, that each of us would grow in courage. Lord, that we would grow in the areas of courage that you would have us to grow in. Lord, we would be responsive to you as you call us to places to demonstrate courage. I pray for your Holy Spirit here today just to do whatever he wants to do in each heart, each life, each family. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word pandemic describes a disease outbreak that is larger in scale and expected and covers a large geographical area, often crossing international borders. It's broader in scope than an epidemic and often more threatening. The influenza outbreak of 1918 claimed in excess of 20 million lives worldwide. Really, that could have been classified as a pandemic. Studies today prove that children living without fathers are more likely to be poor and to endure significant emotional, educational, medical, and psychological problems. Similar studies reveal that more than 24 million American children currently live without their biological fathers. That statistic is in excess of 36% of American children, making fatherlessness a problem of pandemic size. And you're here today and you say, well, I am a single mom, and what am I going to do? Well, I want to encourage you as well, because there is hope. You know, I have seen single moms raise godly children. But the key, I think, is to get them in church and get them around some Christian men. I was raised without a father. I didn't have a biological father in my life. In fact, I met my biological father one time when I was 7 years old. When my dad heard that my mom was expecting me, he just packed up and left. But I had the influence of godly people in the church, godly men, and especially a godly grandfather that I was able to look up to. And so there's hope for everyone. But you need to know that without a father, it is a difficult time. And you need to really seek the Lord and his help. And the answer, of course, is a return to biblical fatherhood. With men of God taking courage and standing for what's right in their home and get involved in their communities to love, lead, and protect children, and thereby eliminating the problems associated with fatherlessness. In the movie Courageous, if you haven't seen it, there are four police officers who recognize the need to be godly, biblical fathers And they answer the call of God to be better fathers. And while Adam Mitchell and his fellow law enforcement officers consistently gave their best on their jobs to be the best policemen that they could be, they realized that being good enough as fathers wasn't the answer. They needed to be better than good enough. And so they mustered the courage to follow the biblical call to fatherhood. And they quickly discovered that they had been missing the mark, that they hadn't been doing all that the Bible says a father should do. And they knew that God desired to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. But in their case, their children had been even drifting away from them. So as it was in the case with these dads, just talking about the principles in the Bible is not enough. We have to live out those principles, and to be able to apply them to our life it'll take courage. It'll take great courage. And so these messages is a call for believers to take a stand for their children and for their future and to show courage. And I want you to know from the beginning that this study is not just for fathers. It just so happens that the movie Courageous was geared really toward fathers, but this study is for everyone. The moms might be entertaining the question, well, what's in it for me? As a wife, mother, or woman of faith, yes, the movie was targeted at men, but there is an unmistakable void of biblical fatherhood in this country, that the reasons for that are far more reaching than just that we haven't had fathers who needed to be what God wanted them to be. See, as moms, you have a great influence upon your children as well. You are raising sons who will one day become husbands and fathers themselves. Or you're raising daughters who will someday choose a man to marry, who will serve as a father to their children, your grandchildren. You have an incredible responsibility before you. And even if you don't have children, you have a father. And you know the effect that either his presence or absence had in your life. So this series is not only an opportunity for you to unpack the relationship you have or have had with your own dad, but also an opportunity for you to get even closer to your Heavenly Father, who we all have. While we desperately need men to stand up to be the fathers that God has called and equipped them to be, we also need women to understand that and to be supportive to the husbands, to the fathers, as they lead, to give them the necessary support and daily encouragement to make their desires for their family a reality. So my prayer is for all of you, for all of us, that we will be drawn closer to the heart of God and his call on our lives to be courageous believers. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. Let me read that verse again. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Just backed up to chapter 11 and verse 31. Just prior to this, I want you to see that Terah, Abram's father, Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Terah and his family were on the way to the promised land, the land that God had for this family, all along. But while they are on the way, without even realizing it, they stopped short of the journey and they settled in a place called Haran. We'll get back to those scriptures in just a moment, but I don't know, I doubt that you have ever heard the name Rafael Peralta. Captain Adam Morrison of the United States Marine Corps certainly does. On November 15th, 2004, Rafael, a member of Morrison's unit, saved his life and every Marine in their room. Their unit had been cleansing Fallujah, Iraq, of terrorists. They were going through one house a day for seven straight days. That morning, they entered a home and cleared the front rooms, only to find a locked door on the left side of the house. Sergeant Peralta opened the door to be met with gunfire from three terrorists with AK-47s. Peralta, alive but severely injured and lying on the floor in the doorway, noticed a grenade rolling toward him. He grabbed the grenade and tucked it under his abdomen. When it exploded, he died, but the rest of the troop survived. Peralta was a 25-year-old immigrant who enlisted in the Marines the day he received his green card. Leaving his parents for Iraq, he signed up to serve on the front lines. His bedroom at home contained three items on his wall. One, a copy of the Constitution of the United States. Two, the Bill of Rights. And three, a certificate of graduation from boot camp. His heroic act was foreshadowed by a note he wrote his younger brother saying, "Be proud of me, bro. And be proud of being an American." Those who knew of Rafael Peralta can indeed be proud. Can I tell you, it takes courage to enlist and sign up for frontline duty in an ongoing war. It takes courage to risk voluntarily and be willing to give your life for others and for the perseverance of a mission. On the military battlefield, freedom is at stake. A special battlefield is taking place in homes all across this country and all across this world as Satan has declared war on the family. Our families, they're in danger. We're at stake of losing our children and our grandchildren. Our homes are under intense pressure. And we welcome casualties unless we answer the call to stand and fight for our families. I want to show you a video clip from the movie Courageous. This is called Carjacking. If we can have some lights off, please, just for a couple of minutes. Thank you.
I'm not worried about the car.
Danger and fear are words that are often associated with the word courageous. It takes courage to stand in a threatening situation. According to one popular description, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. In this clip, we saw that illustrated. The dad was courageous. Something was more important than the fear of trying to chase down a moving truck. He wasn't concerned about the truck. He wasn't concerned about the vehicle. He was concerned about his child. It's time to unapologetically and unashamedly call men and women to take a stand, to stand up for Christ, to stand against popular culture, to stand strong for their families and their future. Just a couple of points about being courageous this morning. 3 points. Number one, courageous Christians follow God's promise into the unknown. Here we have Abraham. The Lord said unto him, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto an unknown land." God simply said, "A land that I will show you of." And that great promise, "I will make of thee a great nation and will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." I'm not sure how much Abraham struggled with this decision. The Bible simply says in verse 4, "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." And he took his nephew Lot, and he's 75 years old when he answers this call to step out and go to an unknown land and exercise courage. Complacent says, "Stick to the status quo. Just be happy with the way things are. Just go along with what everybody else is doing. Just follow the status quo." Courageous says, "Grab your stuff and let's go." If God has given the call, then we need to answer the call. Let's not stick to the status quo. Let's grab our stuff and let's go as the Lord leads. Abram never made it past Haran with his father. He had never seen Canaan before. He had never seen this land of promise. And so following God meant that he would go into a land in a journey of unknowns. The likely thing for Abram at this point was to stick to what he already knew, to stick with the familiar family territory. Life's been good. Life seemed good for the sons of Terah in Ur of the Chaldees. In fact, archaeology reveals that Ur was a prosperous place. So Abram is living in a prosperous place. He's living in the home of his father. He's got everything that he needs. And then one day, God shows up and speaks and says, "I want you to pack your things, get your family together, and move out." "Where are we going, Lord?" "Well, I'm not going to tell you. You're just going to have to trust me on this. You're just going to have to follow me by faith." I mean, how would you like to do that? I mean, what would you do today if God just spoke to your heart and said, "I want you to pack your stuff. You're going to be moving." "Where to, God?" "I'm not going to tell you. You're just going to have to trust me. You're just going to have to take it one step at a time. None of us would be very happy to do that. And yet God is asking him to take a step into the unknown. Do you know what that's really what faith is? Faith is just living life one step at a time. Sometimes God only gives enough light to take for us to take one step. And he says, I want you to take a step into the unknown. I will lead you step by step along the way. It's always been interesting to me that God didn't tell him exactly where they were going. I think he might have probably had a hint here because his father was supposed to go to the land of Canaan. They didn't make it. But God didn't tell him that, and God didn't tell him the route that they were going to take to get there. He just said, follow me. And I often wondered why God didn't tell him the destination. I think it's this. I think because Abram would have had his eye on the destination instead of God. You know, and I think that's why God doesn't give us a lot of information in our lives, because he wants us to not look at those things, but he wants us to look at him. He never outlines all of the blessings that he's going to receive in that land, because God doesn't want us looking at the blessings. He wants us looking at him. He wants us following him. Have you ever had to go somewhere and you followed somebody else to get there, to get to that destination? And then later on you had to drive there by yourself. And you try to remember all the roads that you took to get there. And sometimes we have a hard time because we kept our eye on the person ahead of us, the person that we were following, rather than where we were going. And that's the way God is with us. He wants us to keep our eyes upon him. He wants us to follow him and to trust him with our lives. And let me tell you, that takes courage. It takes courage to step out into the unknown. And Genesis 11 gives us the genealogy of the firstborn for each generation from Shem to Abram. Terah was the firstborn of Nahor, who was the firstborn child of his father. And so there's this long history of firstborn status. It would have been quite a household, because the firstborn in those days was really required to protect the possessions of the family. They were the guide, they were the protectors, they were the leaders of the family. And then following his father's death, Abram would have been had the responsibility of maintaining the wealth of his father and managing that abundant household. The difficult task for Abram then was to step out and leave all of this that his father had provided, leave all of this behind. He was the eldest son. He would have been very likely the key leader for a large extended family. And he's how old here? 75 years old. God, I'm 75 years old. God, I'm 50 years old. Do you know what you're asking of me? Can I just sit back and take it easy? And God said, no, I want you to follow me. Doesn't matter how old, how young you are, I want you to follow me. And regardless, Abram went on. In verse 4, I love how it just kind of flippantly says that. So Abram departed. As if it was no big deal. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But he departed. Why? Because the promise of God. He believed the promise. With a promise like that, who wouldn't go? Well, there's some people that wouldn't go, despite the promise. Those that were afraid, they wouldn't go. Those who did not trust God, that didn't have faith that God would lead and guide and protect, they wouldn't go. Abraham was in neither camp. Because he heard the call and believed the promise, he was willing to go. Here's the thing. Are you willing to hear the call and then heed the promise? Children need fathers. They need parents who know the promises of God and who are willing to follow those promises, regardless of the risk. God might be calling dads to step out on faith and move into an unknown area of your life. You can continue with business as usual. You can continue to do things the way the world prescribes, or you can pay attention to Scripture. and dare to be people who really obey God. And really the best thing parents can do in front of their children is to follow God, even when it doesn't seem to make sense to them. But they see the example, they see mom, they see dad stepping out in faith, and they see them following God and obeying God, even in areas that they don't understand. See, but they can say, I know this, I know mom and God, mom and dad, they trusted God. They had faith in him. The second thing is that courageous Christians follow God's power against the impossible. Courageous Christians follow God's power against the impossible. Complacent says, it can't be done. Courage says, with God, the battle is already won. I like that. It's already done. It's already won. Abram passed through the land that was already inhabited. Moses was writing about 700 years after the fact and would have had a point of reference from Canaan that included the beastly nature and the warring inhabitants. Common sense would have spoken doubt into the promise of God because the land of promise was already full of people. And remember when Joshua and Caleb had spied out the promised land, they came back and they said, there's not only people there, there's giants there. There's people of incredible stature. And there are cities there, yeah, but they are walled cities. And if we look in the natural, we see that God's calling sometimes is a high calling, is a big calling. It can't be done. Or we doubt our ability to be able to do it. And courage, though, looks at that and says, this is not an impossible situation because God has already gone ahead and prepared the way, and the victory is mine for the taking. I love what God had said to Joshua. He said, every step that you take in the promised land is conquered ground. That's already been won for you. It's already yours. You just have to put one foot in front of the other. Step out in faith and take what I've already given you. And there's a lot of Christians that are sitting in life and they're afraid to step out. They're afraid that the situation is too big for them. And God said, if you will only trust me, I've already gone ahead of you and prepared the land. I've already gained the victory. It's yours for the taking. Will you receive my promise? Well, regardless of the obstacle, the courageous response is belief in God, his word, and his promises that can be trusted. Trusting God always manifests itself in worship. In other words, the way that we know if we are trusting God or not is that it will lead to worship. I want you to look at verse 7 there in Genesis 12. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. What did Abram do? And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. The battle cry for the true believer is sacrificial worship. To worship God was instinctive. You know, Abram didn't have the outlines for priestly worship at this time. God hadn't given those. He didn't have the prescription to worship God in any particular way. But he had this. He had an encounter with God. And that encounter prompted him to worship. When did this take place? When did this worship take place? Please listen to me. This worship took place way before he ever received the promise. Way before God ever fulfilled the promise, Abram worshiped. He worshiped in sacrifice. He was faithful in obedience. He didn't have a map. He didn't have an itinerary. He simply followed the voice of God. He had an encounter with God, and he worshiped. Mom and dad, children need parents who worship God. They need to see you worshiping God. One of the things I like about what this church does is we don't send the kids off to children's church until after they've been involved in worship. They get to see adults. They get to see mom and dad worshiping God together. Children need to see that. And we can trust that God's promises will be fulfilled, that they are for our good, and then that should cause us to worship. Third thing about courageous Christians, and that is they follow God's plan for the future. They follow God's plan for the future. Complacent says, it's about now, and it's about me. Courageous says, it's about the future and my family. The average response to the call of God is, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? But all of God's promises to Abraham were future tense. Abraham had a fairly good indication that God's promises would not be for his immediate future, but instead, they indicated a long-distance promise. Are we willing to trust God and wait for the fulfillment of the promise, not knowing when that promise will be fulfilled? It would take a minimum of, if Sarah got pregnant at that moment, it would take a minimum of how long? 9 months, you know, at least 9 months in order for Abram to have a child. And then how long after that before he gets a grandchild? And he's 75 years old. The truth of the matter is, he had to wait 25 years for the son, for the promised son. Abram could naturally sense that he is the father of all nations. That was a long way off, perhaps even further than he even thought. I mean, can you imagine God shows up one day and says, Abram, I'm going to change your name to fit your calling, to fit my promise. Your name, Abram, is going to be changed to Abraham, which means father of nations. Big daddy. And Abram looks around. I'm 75 years old. My wife is 65 years old. This promise seems impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. But even so, he knew that this promise was going to be fulfilled later in his life. And they moved to the Negev, a difficult place to live. It was suitable for herding, but it was not a proper place for farming. And in the meantime, complacency would have probably set in. 25 years before the fulfillment of a promise, we'd give up on the promise. We'd become complacent. Complacent is often impatient in times of stress and looks for comfort. See, it takes courage to keep on believing. And if we don't keep on believing, if we don't keep on trusting, we can become complacent with that promise, and we can look for another way out. And Abram did that, unfortunately. But that's another story. But the courageous follower knows it's all about the big picture and looks forward to what God will do in the future, even though the present has its challenges. Would you turn to the book of Hebrews, please? Hebrews chapter 11. Let's start with verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for something more than what this life had to offer. He is looking for something of eternal value. And look at verse 13. It says, these all, that's including Abraham, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. See, the courageous believer looks at the big picture. Doesn't just look at themselves, but they look beyond that to their children and their grandchildren and to future generations. It's not about them. It's not about me. It's about my family. It's about God. It's what God wants to do with my children and grandchildren. Abraham is heralded in Hebrews as a father of faith because he's looking for a different reality, and he's living life in light of that reality. Living in the present with the future in mind is difficult. Knowing that the decisions that you make as a parent, as a dad, can greatly affect the generations to come can be a very stressful thing. It's startling, it's sobering, it's humbling. And so having a healthy perspective about the future of your family is very important. If I could get anything through in this message, I guess this morning, it's that put your family first. It's not about you, it's about the future. It's about your children, it's about your grandchildren. And although you believe the promises that God has for you, very truthfully, honestly, some of those promises that you are hanging on to, that you are praying and believing for God for, may not be seen by you in this lifetime. But that doesn't mean that you quit praying and you quit believing and you quit trusting God. Complacency is not an option. It's no longer an option if you want to go forward. It's no longer an option if you want to lead your family forward. It's no longer an option if for the church that wants to go forward. God is calling us all to step out in faith and to do the hard things. Pastor Josh had led the youth on a study a year or so ago about do hard things. I was impressed by that study. Sometimes we have to do the hard things in raising our families and in obeying God as believers. Stepping out in faith may cost you some friends. It may cost you some status. It may cost you a lot. I don't know. I know people that have lost their jobs because they've taken a stand for God. But what it gains is an access to the fulfilled promises of God and a perspective on heaven that is so much clearer. What it costs us to live courageously, let me put it this way, is ultimately worth it. If you knew the outcome, you would choose to live courageously. Let me give you an application of all this. Would you turn to Joshua chapter 1? Joshua chapter 1. And I'm almost done. Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, and have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So the promise of Moses became the promise of Joshua. How often I have seen that the promise that God gave to mom or dad becomes a promise to that son or that daughter. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Read that with me. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Three times God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. We can have courage because God has promised to prosper us, to make us successful, to bless us. And even though he has the promises, he still says there's something you need to do. You need to step out in faith. You need to be strong. You need to be courageous. God will be faithful to his promise to be with you wherever you go. Only you must be strong and you must be courageous. And if we look at this, we see that the key to courage is to success. Courage and success is meditating on God's word. If you knew that God was commanding you to do something, that he was going to bless you if you did it, that you would be successful in that endeavor and you would prosper, would you be courageous? You hopefully would. If there's something God has already told you to do, my challenge to you today is be courageous and begin to do it. First, God commanded Joshua to be obedient to the book of the law and to the word of God. Then the people who were under Joshua's care committed to do the same. I'm committing to courage. You under my care, I'm calling you to commit to the same, to commit to courage and take a stand. And although Joshua made a lot of mistakes as leader, he continued to seek the Lord and get back on track, which is a strong example for all of us. Fathers, you might have made some mistakes. You might have some failures, but it doesn't matter. If you would now say, I'm going to purpose to do right, and I'm going to take a courageous stand for that which is right. As men and women of faith, the commitment of the people God entrusts to us will only be as strong as our own. This is true of other believers we lead and disciple. It's also true for the children that we are charged to raise. Most of us could stand to improve in our consistency of reading God's word and in obeying his voice, like Joshua's call from God, the reminder to us to be strong and courageous. Constantly pray for courage to address in a godly way the threats to your children. Pray for a child as he or she faces the challenges of life, like Nathan in our clip this morning. Hang on to the wheel. Hang on to the wheel. Even though it seems like sometimes the life is spinning out of control and you don't have a firm grip on it, the grip that you do have, you hang on. Hang on to the wheel as tightly as you can. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? It is time to answer the call. It is time to be courageous. We're gonna, in just a moment, sing that chorus we sang before. We'll stand with hands high and heart abandoned. Stand in courage. Before you do that today, though, I just wonder, maybe there's something you need to take care of. Maybe there's some forgiveness that needs to be given out. I like the definition of forgiveness, clearing the record of those who have wronged me, allowing God to love them through me. First of all, you might need to receive the forgiveness of God for your sins. It is so great that God can clear the record of all the wrongs that you have done. Forgive you of all of it. Wipe your slate completely clean. Forgive you of it all. But you need to ask Him to forgive you. And He is willing, perfectly just, to forgive you of all your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So is there anybody here, first of all, by an uplifted hand, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need God's forgiveness for the sin of my life. Amen. God bless you. Anyone else? Amen. God bless you. Right now, right where you're at, amen. Just ask God to forgive you. Forgive me for this. Let God clear your record this morning. Give you a clean slate. And there might be here, some here today, some dads perhaps. Say, I've made some mistakes in the raising of my family. I've made some mistakes with my children. But I'm asking God to forgive me today. Asking God to wipe my slate clean. Give me a clean start as a dad. He'll do that for you, and He'll do a work in your children even, in their hearts. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a right relationship with your parents. Something happened. Through them. God love them through you. Would you let God love them through you? I'm not going to ask for hands. This is between you and God, but I hope that you're making some decisions there. Because often our view, unfortunately, of our heavenly parents, I mean of our earthly parents, come in the way and cloud our view of our Heavenly Father. I want you to make things right with them. If they're not alive today, you can still forgive them. Father, we thank you for the healing that is taking place this morning. You have done for them and forgiven them, they are able to forgive themselves for their mistakes. Lord, we just want to leave that all here today, settled, so that we can go on and take a stand and live courageously for you.